out of interest, right, if you don't like mince pies, you don't count. Not like your life doesn't count, but you don't count in this moment. Who has had no mince pies this year? Oh, my gosh, that's a lot of self-control. Okay, well done. Are you saving yourself for Christmas Day, out of interest? Okay, who's had more than five? Peter Dixon. Sarah, look at that. Okay, who's in double figures for the amount of mince pies? Peter Dixon, the winner. Absolute champion. Love it. I've had one mince pie. By the way, this is nothing to do with my talk. I've had one mince pie, and it was a mince pie with icing on top. Anyone had them? If you haven't, they are a taste sensation. You need to go and purchase some. Okay, welcome. My name is Jenny. Welcome if you're visiting. Welcome if you're returning. Welcome if you're here every single week. We have been looking at a series called The Best Gift Ever. And so I thought, as is Christmas, I'd bring along a couple of gifts that I've received, not necessarily for Christmas, but for birthdays or Christmas or anniversaries, that I have opened and I've said, man, that is the best gift ever. Okay, so the first one is, I'm wearing it, it's a necklace. Can you kind of see it at the back? Yeah? Okay, so I received this from my husband. It's got sentimental value. But I also know it was costly. Now, I might as well just say he's not here, but I might as well just say that he's probably not costly for you, but for Paul, it was costly. I hope he's not listening online. Let's move on. So I got these a while ago. These are my beloved football boots that I actually came out of retirement a few weeks ago, and I still banged in a few goals, didn't I, Nahum? Thank you. Now, these are great. They have done the job for many years. Actually, in the garden, they got eaten by the fox, and I'm still wearing them. But now they're at the point now where they're starting to crack. And I played a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, my feet are freezing. I thought it was because of the weather, but it turns out they also leak. So even though they were great, they're not particularly long-lasting. And now the third present, which I'm not even joking, I still think this might be the best gift ever. Anyone know what this is? Yeah, salad spinner. Now, let me just say, right, growing up, I kind of thought the crunch that you got in salad was just, like, natural, but apparently you meant to wash your salad. So this is the salad spinner of dreams. Let me just do a little demo. I feel like I'm going to take ages now with my talk, but... So, this is what you do, right? And it goes well fast, yeah? And your salad's having a good wash, but then look, it's got a stop button on it. So that's my salad spinner. So it removes the dirt and the grit of all your salad. So the chances are my necklace and my pink and a luminous green football boots and my salad spinner with a stop button aren't necessarily going to be your best gift ever. But they certainly were mine. Now, you might think, Jen, you need to get a life. And that is also probably true. But let's look at the best gift that God gives us. So we've heard in our Bible readings this morning that the angel announced to Mary, you are going to become pregnant, not through natural means. And you're going to give birth to a baby boy, and he's going to be called Jesus. And you're going to give birth in a place called Bethlehem, a small town, not the amazing city of Jerusalem where all the religious things would have taken place, but somewhere where kind of people hadn't really heard much about. And this was going to be God's greatest gift to the world. So it's kind of like this. God comes along and says, this is going to be your greatest gift. And the thing is, at the time, people were probably looking and hearing and thinking, that's going to be the greatest gift. Like, really? And for us today, we probably hear that a baby being born, that's the greatest gift ever. Really? Surely the greatest gift ever would be world peace. Or maybe for me, it would be a mansion where I have a cleaner. Maybe it would be more money. Maybe it would be a car. Maybe it would be power and status. But a baby born a long time ago probably wouldn't be what we'd class as being the greatest gift ever. But God says to the people, through the angel to the shepherds in Luke 2, chapter 10, that this gift I am going to be is going to be good news. And then he goes on to say in the same verse, it's going to cause great joy and it's going to be for all people. There's going to be peace on earth for those whose favour rests on them from God. So that is going to be the greatest gift ever. And yet we kind of think, is it really? Now the thing is, a gift of good news for all people kind of goes against the kind of Christmas tradition. So if you're not from this country, you might not be aware of this like whole thing. It probably is an American thing though, to be fair. Like, so I'll just pause long enough there, Pamela. Okay, so Father Christmas. If you have been good all year round, or if you haven't, but you try extra hard during the month of December, you're going to end up on Santa Claus's nice list. And what does nice equal on Christmas Eve? Presents, okay. But if you're on Santa Claus's naughty list because you've been naughty during the year or particularly naughty round about December, you won't receive gifts on Christmas Eve. When you wake up Christmas morning full of excitement, you're going to receive coal. Okay, so you're going to receive coal. So you're either on Father Christmas's naughty list or on his nice list. And it depends what you've done as to what list you've been on. Now, by the way, as another aside, I found out that you can go to a website and type in your name and it will tell you whether you're on Father Christmas's naughty or nice list this year. Who knew? So I did actually type my name in and you won't be surprised to hear that actually I'm on Father Christmas's nice list. Thank you very much. Second name, I didn't go that far, Caspar. I mean, maybe. But actually, Darren and Ryan were also on Father Christmas's nice list. And if you're regular attenders, I'd like to say I also typed in the names of the rest of the leadership team. They'll be getting coal this year. Just saying, it's the quiet ones you've got to watch. Okay, so actually, where am I? It's easy to think that God works a little bit like Father Christmas. And so he looks at what we do and the good stuff we do and he gives us a good reward. Or he looks at all the bad stuff that we do and he gives us bad things. But actually the Bible tells us that from creation, right from the start, God desired to have a perfect friendship with us. And we read right at the start of the Bible that Adam and Eve, the first people, they messed it up and we continue to do that. We desire to live our own ways. And imagine that God's got a crown that is placed on his head because he is the King of Kings. But so often we grab that crown from the top of his head and we put it on top of our own heads because we say, I want to be king and I want to be queen of my own life. And actually the Bible says that sin, that kind of like religious word, that's sin. And the Bible says, actually, it's not just some people that have sinned. It's not like the super bad people or the loud people. It says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. Now, imagine if God's standard is like hitting the bullseye. The Bible's saying that you could have as many darts as you liked and you will never, ever hit that bullseye because that is God's standard. And then it goes on in Romans 6:23, and it says actually the payment, the consequence of that sin, the consequence of that desire to live with the crown on our own heads and not on God's, means that life is spoiled. It means that we're separated from God. It means that we die spiritually and eventually physically. And so actually the truth is we are all on God's naughty list. But actually, God isn't like Father Christmas, who is real. He doesn't treat us as we deserve. But actually, out of his great love for us, he says, actually, I'm going to come and I'm going to fix the problem that you've created by giving you the best gift ever, whether it looks like it or whether it doesn't look like it. And the thing is, the gift that Jesus, that God gave was Jesus, a baby. And on the surface of that, there was actually nothing out of the ordinary. Babies were born all the time. Jesus would have been one of many. And since then, babies continue to be born all the time. There was nothing special about that on the face of it. But it says in Romans 6:23 that God gives the free gift. So it's a free gift of life forever in Jesus. So God comes and he gives his only son. It's God who comes and puts on flesh and says, I'm going to be here. It's a distant God who shows up and chooses to live with his people. And actually, you know, like we were talking throughout this week in various kind of Bible studies about Christmas. And Christmas is so hit and miss for people. It can be like such the loveliest time for people or amongst some of the loneliest times. And actually, in our loneliness, God's saying, I came to be with you so you didn't need to be lonely. But the thing is, this gift, the gift of a baby, when the shepherds had been and gone, when the wise men came and gave their gifts and rode off into the sunset, the baby grew up. And the baby grew up, and the baby got a trade. And after the baby got a trade, the baby, who is now probably a teenager, moved out of home. I'm sure some people are like, whoa, I wish that was the case in my household. But Jesus would have moved out of home and he began to teach. And he started walking about and declaring the truth that if you want to know God, then you need to know God through him. And so as Jesus carried on about his business, he taught, and all roads for him led to the cross. This is where my visual aid might let me down. And we remember at Easter, actually, not the baby Jesus, but we remember the baby who grew up. And then as he grew up, the greatest gift unfolded for us and became a cross. And it was a cross that Jesus died on because he took the payment for our sin that we deserved. And that was the greatest gift that was ever given to you and to me, whether it looks like it or it doesn't look like it. And in doing so, in Jesus dying on that cross, he done what we can't do for ourselves. He was like the greatest salad spinner spiritually the world has ever seen. He removed the grit and he removed the dirt from our lives. And he covers the very, very long list of everything we could ever have done wrong. Our hurtful words, our greed, our lustful thoughts, our anger towards others. But actually, it tells us in Romans 6:23 that it wasn't just a one-time thing, it was forever. Unlike my boots, that actually someday are just going to end up in the bin because they're old and because they're battered and they're not fit for purpose anymore. Actually, the gift that God gave us says that it will go on and it will last forever. It's eternal. And like my necklace, it comes at great cost. But more than the £32 or whatever Paul would have paid for it. Like actually the cost to God was him giving up his one and only son. And it's a free gift. It's a free gift for you and it's a free gift for me. And it is completely undeserved. And it's a no strings attached thing. From God personally to you. Your name tag is on it. And the life God gives isn't just eternal, that we wait now for the day that we die so that one day we will be face to face with God. The Bible tells us that we can experience the fullness of that gift in the here and now, that fullness of life in the here and now. Now, just to finish up, years and years ago, there was an exhibition down Brick Lane called like Bricks something or the other. It was kind of like all sculptures that were made out of Lego. Has anyone seen that or heard of that? Okay, a few people, okay. As we were walking around, I saw this sculpture, which the picture doesn't do it justice in the slightest. So it's 3D, it's of a person, and you can see he's got a massive gap missing in the middle. And this sculpture is called Incomplete. And I looked at it and I stood there looking at it for ages. Like, actually, I was really amazed by it. But I kind of thought about, like, our lives and what our lives are like. And then I was thinking, gosh, imagine, like, if you gave me lots of red bricks and said, Jen, I want you to complete this sculpture so it looks like a finished product. I mean, I'd give it a go. I'm all right at Lego. I'm not amazing. But I'd probably make a little bit of a mess of it. You might be good at Lego and you might do a better job than I would. But actually, if you were going to finish this sculpture so it was completely complete, you probably would need to get the creator of this sculpture in and say, finish the job. Friends, the Bible tells us that our lives without Jesus is incomplete. And so often we try to complete ourselves and we use money and we use popularity and we use love and we desire health and lots of different things to complete us. Or sometimes we try and fill that void and that gap by striving to be good and striving to be acceptable. But the Bible says that's not going to work. That is never truly going to complete us. The only one who can complete us is the Creator. And the only way he completes us is in Jesus. A really famous quote says this: God's greatest gift was because it matched our greatest need. And so if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent an educator. If it had been for technology, he would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a savior. Friends, Jesus coming as a little baby in Bethlehem was the greatest gift to all people because all people find themselves on the naughty list. And there's no other present, there's no other tradition, there's no other food, there's no amount of mince pies that will ever, ever be able to top that. And so this morning, friends, whether you've been around in church for a long time or not, whether you're just popping your head in because someone's invited you, Jesus says to you, I offer you the greatest gift this morning. And you've got a choice what you do with that. You can say, thank you, but I'm okay. And that's okay. Or you can say, yes, please, I want to receive that gift, even though I don't understand it, even though it doesn't look completely amazing from the outside. Or maybe you're thinking, actually, I need to understand more. Like we would say, don't let Christmas pass and the new year come without trying to understand more and to investigate more.